Welcome back. It's midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, we are chugging along through the beautiful, beautiful springtime month of March. March 29th already? Goodness gracious. Steve Rummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
I'll say it. I love him. He makes me happy.
Steve?
I said it.
You want to clarify that?
No. No, I don't want to clarify it. He makes me smile. And I don't care. And I don't care what anybody says about it.
Brian Hall in the booth. Brian, what's going on, my man?
I don't care what anybody says. He makes me smile.
See?
He makes me smile, man.
He did.
I like this guy.
He makes my heart happy.
What do you got to say about that, Marcus?
I just got a...
Does it make you smile?
I just got a message from my favorite rapper of all time.
See, that makes him smile.
Excuse me for a second, y'all. You go back to doing the show.
What the crap
sorry.
Just happened?
We have a radio show going on.
Yeah. Here. Like, what are we doing here? Are you going to tell us who it is? I mean,
hey, Marcus, did you play in that game yesterday that Chris Mack was talking about?
Are we going to do that? Where are we going to start with this today, Steve? There's so many places to go with this.
I know.
Where are we going to start? You know what? I'll start off by giving out the number 8150. 93.9 is the number.
I'm going to start off with taking off my pants.
3831 93.9. We're not on Facebook Live,
I'm
Steve.
Take off my shirt.
No, I'm seriously taking off my pants because Marcus spilt water everywhere.
Ah, I got you. Ah, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just wear shorts.
Your phone looks healthy.
I play ball, so I always got ball shorts on underneath.
That is so young just, person, basketball guy.
Just in case you never know
when the game is going to break out. You always got to have shoes on deck. You always got to have shorts ready to go. So what are we going to do, Brian? Brian, you control the direction of this one. Where do we start today? With, of course, welcome home.
Golly.
Well, I want to talk about your very first question in a press conference. I thought you nailed it.
Are we going right there?
It was some perfect timing.
You know what?
Man.
So you think I should share, you as being the producer of this show, you think I should share that experience?
I think you should share your experience about playing against Chris Mack, because a lot of us don't know what Chris Mack was as a player.
Well, he was coaching.
He was coaching.
Yeah, he's a little older than Marcus.
But here's the thing, people. Let's do this. This is why you enjoy to listen to Marcus and Steve, because we have these moments quite often.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who are not familiar with the opening press conference, I'm sure most people are, because we are all psychopaths on the show together. This is what happened yesterday. Chris Mack is introduced in front of hundreds of thousands of rabid fans. It's hyperbolic, but you get the point. Chris Mack comes in. In one of his first directions, he goes, you know, welcome, thanks for having me here. And he goes straight to Coach Crum. He then proceeds to share his most memorable story involving Coach Crum. If you were listening to the Diener Show, you might have heard me touch on, you know, the question and the situation. Coach Chris Mack was on the bench of Xavier in 1999, y'all have to pardon me on this one. I don't like it, but I'm going to do this. 1999, Coach Chris Mack is on the bench of Xavier. During that game, they were implementing or testing an experimental rule. Basically, when you foul someone in the last minute, they have a choice whether to take the ball out of bounds or shoot the free throw. The reason they were experimenting with this rule is because the Hack-a-Shaq was scaring everybody away.
Right.
They thought that was going to change. They thought you're never going to be able to put a big man on the court again if he can't shoot free throws. And we argued about it later on, and everybody said, well, you should learn to shoot free throws. You know, that was always my point. But you get the point. It was up to the team whether or not to shoot free throws. Xavier gets up by 1 or 2 points. And Coach Chris Mack comes up with the ingenious idea of actually using the experimental rule. It's like 29 seconds on the clock. Chris Mack says to Coach Skip Prosser, "Coach, let's just keep taking it out of bounds and see what happens." So, 29 seconds, foul, 27 seconds, foul, 24 seconds, foul, 23 seconds, foul, 21 seconds, foul. The entire game got fouled out. I am sitting in this press conference, people, reliving a game where I was robbed. I was absolutely robbed of my win over Xavier because of no person other than our new head coach of the University of Louisville, Chris Mack. It was his suggestion. And people, Steve, what was that? What was that line that I had? You know, that you saw on the little you know, Maben, who was what were those stats? Some, do you remember?
Oh,
those stats?
Yeah, I don't know. It was good.
Yeah, it was like a, yeah, it was like, you know, 18 on, you know, 9 shots.
Yeah. It was legit.
Where you at, Kevin?
Yeah,
that's efficiency, playboy.
Yeah.
See, I knew this is where you wanted to start, Mark.
Right. Okay, so, you know, I put in a little work against Xavier. You know, Chris Mack know that.
Right.
So I'm thinking and I'm reliving as he's telling the story. I'm like, oh, yeah. So, Steve, we're going further. And then the question part of the press conference happens. I've been to press conferences. I've never asked one question
right
at a press conference.
No, a lot of times we go, we watch, we, you know.
We listen. Because, I mean, listen, the people who have been asking the questions before, they do a good job of covering.
They're pros. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times the questions we have are stuff I'd rather just ask them.
In person.
Yeah.
When I see them, you know, over at the gym. But people.
Oh, we're going to get to that too.
You do.
No. Don't you let that slip. We're going to get to that.
What's that?
Oh, the dinner that me and you are going to be having at Coach Mack's house.
Ah.
No, don't me. No, don't ah me. No.
Good point.
Yeah, you go and I don't, I'll never talk to you again.
Boy, you putting your chips all the way in on that one.
I'll never talk to you again.
Already. Listen, Coach Crum has just now started accepting you as a former player.
Yeah, as a former player.
You're already on the Christmas. So, people.
Yes.
Imagine you're having your moment, Eminem. You're looking in the mirror. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun. His arms are sweaty. Yeah. Knees weak. Arms.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to ask because I'm not going to let this guy tell this story without letting him know that a recipient of your move is staring you right in the face. Coach Mack. Right?
Yes.
Give me that microphone right now. I really wasn't like that.
No, it was close.
Steve, we're trying to paint a nice, clean, family-friendly picture. Give me that microphone, right? Yeah, Coach. I was actually on that team. Thanks a lot. Now I'm going to give you the tough question. See, I was going to give him one of those, you know, one of those rah-rah questions. Then I'm like, okay, Coach, since you want to be a smart aleck.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, is your staff filled out already? How you like that question? No, I was really curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but it was one of those moments that I was like, Steve, is this an uncomfortable question to ask?
No.
And Steve said, go for it. People, imagine if you want to ask a question that you don't know is touchy or not. You know, you don't want to throw the new coach in the bat. Go for it. I'm paraphrasing, but Steve, do it. Right?
Have at it.
So people, I did ask him about his staff being, which ended up being uncomfortably honest.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see what happens at Xavier before my staff is already filled out, i.e., if my head assistant gets the head coaching job, he's coming with me.
Well, and speaking.
But
speaking of the staff, I mean, we got about 5-10 minutes to step aside and talk to Coach Pegues, which was really awesome.
Yeah. Coach Mack, I was actually on the court in 99, and I missed a steal when you call that play. So I appreciate the coaching staff. How close are you to having a full staff right now?
I think there's a little bit of things that have to be played out bit back at Xavier. You know, I brought with me today Luke Murray and Mike Pegues, who I fully intend to bring on as full-time assistants here. They're in the back of the room. You know, those guys have been with me every step of the way. Travis Steele, who's been my associate head coach at Xavier for the last 9 seasons, is a candidate to replace me at Xavier. And, you know, I think he would do an incredible job at Xavier. So whether Trav ultimately ends up being the head coach at Xavier, then that would obviously have some, you know, ramifications for my staff. You know, certain support staff I'm going to talk to that have worked here and represented Louisville the right way over the last couple of years, or however long some of these guys have been here, years and years. But I'm going to do them right, as will Vince. But ultimately, I have to be comfortable, just like any CEO would, and that's what you are when you're a head basketball coach in 2018. Be very comfortable with the people that represent me, that work with me, work with our players, and represent you all as the University of Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair, like I said.
And that's exactly what we said yesterday about the comfort. What do we stress the most? When people asked about him keeping Coach Reagan on, what do we say? The most important thing is he's going to have to worry about comfort. And once he can, you know, once he can address that, then I'm sure he'll start, you know, deciding where, you know, where the, you know, where he can reach outside for staff.
Well, and look, and you can give us a call, 8150-939. I want to know what did you like? What did you dislike? What was there anything to dislike? I mean, I think for the most part, he did his thing.
Just before we totally jump away from that question, I shuddered when that pause, that pause right at the beginning, because everybody knows me. Like, I'm not gotcha guy. Yeah. I don't even want to ask a question in gotcha mode. But you also don't want to throw up super lob softballs, you know. So I, when he did that pause, I'm like, oh no.
See, you look at him. I look at Kenny. I look at Kenny Klein like, oh, because if Kenny Klein gave you a side eye,
you gave Kenny Klein the "I'm not with him" look.
Yes. Quickly.
That's a fair point.
I'm not asking that question. But no, what I was saying about the staff too, we got to spend a few minutes with Mike Pegues in the back. He'll be on soon.
That's not confirmed.
Yeah,
but that's an energy. an energy field.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is with him, man. I mean, look, former basketball player. I think one of the all time leading scorers at Delaware, did his thing. I mean, kind of had a lot. He was going. I'm not gonna give all the details, but I mean, he was going into some of his AAU connections, different stuff. And I was impressed, man. Like, I was really impressed. I was like, man, I want to play for you.
I feel like you watered that down.
I did.
Steve and I jumped in the air and did the spinning booty bump.
Yeah.
After we talked to the assistants.
Yeah, because, man, he was good, man.
He knows what he's doing, and his pedigree is right.
Yeah.
His energy, and not like energy like excitable. No, he knows what he's talking about. He has a plan. And throw this in here. He was overwhelmed with pride about being a part of this program in an hour.
I loved what he said too. I seen again. I don't want to get too personal. I don't like to give personal stories away a lot because I always look around for the guy. I'm like, oh yeah, you're around here. You're just gonna go off and tell a story about something.
You rat.
But I'm gonna say this, and hopefully this guy don't get mad at me because this guy scares me to death anyways. But Ellis Miles kind of said, you know, he said, "Hey, Coach Ellis Miles," and Coach Pegues looked at him and said, "I know who you are. Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, like, get over here, man." Like, you know, and I thought that was a cool moment. Kind of like, oh, all
right. Right. Like, listen, we're gonna go over some press conference takeaways. Yeah. That was assistant coach takeaway, and I'm gonna humbly brag about Coach Mac. Steve and I were debating if he was telling the truth when he said, "Oh, Marcus, man, I know you're a hell of a player."
No, he knew.
We had a moment, Steve, where I'm like, "Are you just saying that, Coach, or do you really?" And then we thought about it. It's like, dude, you had to do the scouting for that game.
Yeah.
It was my senior year.
Yeah. I mean, you were probably, as much as I make fun of you, I mean, I will say,
I was probably on the scout report.
You were probably on the scouting report your senior year.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair, humble brag. Let me go to the phone lines. The Ed Scoring Collision Center hotline. Eric, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hey guys, great show, great day. You know, just everything about yesterday was great. I absolutely fell in love with Coach Mack. I literally had a tear kind of start to form in my eye listening to him talk yesterday. It was just such a great thing to see. And I'm really looking forward to what he brings all the freshmen seem like they said that they really are looking forward to coming back and, you know, working under him, which, I mean, why wouldn't you? He was just a one seed in the tournament. But, you know, just overall yesterday, there was nothing he did wrong. Like, everything he did, he knocked it out of the park for me. And I'm just so excited to move forward in Louisville basketball. I was glad that he even thanked Rick, and I thought it was cool that Rick told him, you know, the truth. It was like, you know, regardless of what happened to me here, it's a great job, it's a great opportunity, it's the once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity. And, you know, and he knew that, and that's why he took it. But I'm just very excited. I'm on the Matt train or whatever we want to call it. I don't know what we're going to be calling him and what kind of taglines we're going to come up with. But I'm definitely on the Matt train. And, Marcus, I did think it was hilarious when you said that question yesterday. I heard it in your voice. I'm like, man, he's still upset. He's reliving that game right now.
I mean, how could you not be?
yes, totally. I understand. You relive the losses a lot more than you do the wins.
Oh, but, 100%.
But, yeah, it was a great day for Louisville basketball in general. His number one thing for me is what he said. He said, there is no Crum era, Pino era, nothing like that. It's Louisville basketball, and that's who we are. So, guys, thank you very much for letting me start off the show. Steve, I hope it goes out to Shepherdsville, but or Oklahoma. But, anyways, thank you very much. Go Cards.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call. What do you think about that? I mean, what do you think about the idea that you knew he felt it was a opportunity of a lifetime?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think he's known that for a while. I think a lot of people know that. I mean, we're so close to it. I mean, I think we downplay how people look at this job.
And just to put the bow tie on that game, thank you, Kelly Dickey. Thank you, Kelly Dickey, for sending me the actual Courier Journal Cards lose in foul finish, right?
Yeah.
Quote. Quote. This is my quote from the game, Steve. Now, people, this is why you hear pain in my voice. This is my quote from 1999. I had a shot at one ball that went over my head, Maven said. I was sitting on the bench cutting my fingernails earlier in the half. And if I hadn't, maybe I would have gotten control of that basketball.
You would absolutely crush a player today if they said, man, I would have got to steal, but I cut my fingernails on the bench. Like, you would lose your mind. If Ding Adele was like, yeah, man, I would have got that steal, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I cut my fingernails. For one, why was you cutting your fingernails?
Because it ripped.
Okay. Well,
you know how you fair. Get that rip right in the middle?
Okay. Well, why didn't you just bite it?
Oh! Because it's going to tear deeper. Soon as your bicuspid gets hold of that fingernail, Steve, it's going to tear that thing to shreds.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I remember it hurting, and I remember thinking, I'm not going to sit around and play with Johnny, Jonathan Israel. Hey, man, give me a nail clipper. What? Marcus, a nail clipper? What are you talking about?
Yeah, geez, I don't have that on me right now for the game.
But he did.
Yeah,
no,
of course
no,
he did.
He absolutely did, because it happens a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and it,
right.
And people, it only took 32 seconds to actually
right,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But I just clipped the other ones while I was there.
Just started grooming.
Steve, I missed that steal because I cut my nails. And from that point on, people, I even said it
how
earlier.
Long were your freaking nails that you missed a steal because of them?
Steve.
Like, that may have been, that what, like, this goes beyond,
basketball,
like, you needed to lose that game.
Is life. And life is a game of millimeters. Oh my God. And the millimeters that I removed, from that point on, Steve, I never cut my fingernails during the season. I was out there just Wolverine.
Yeah.
Moves. Yeah, because I got sick of it too, man. You know, and listen, I shouldn't be embarrassed to say this. I'm a nice complexion guy.
Sure.
But when I get scratched, man, boy, I look like a bloody mess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I got tired of being on the receiving end of looking like a guy who lost the fight to Wolverine instead of doing the Wolverine. I used to scratch Tony Williams in practice every day. I used to feel so bad. So Marcus? Bad about it, but I used to tear. Can you remember everybody used to have those open shirts on the side?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boy, I used to tear people up when I stopped cutting my nails. Right. But I stopped cutting my nails after that
moment. Well, somehow you've turned the first 25 minutes of the show into about you.
Into Midday with Marcus Mayman.
Yeah, when I really would rather hear Midday about Chris Mack.
Midday with Chris Mack. Let's go to the Escort Collision Center hotline. Joe, thanks for joining us, my man. Fire away. Joe, you
know. Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm here. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I was just wondering if anyone caught the shot he made at Kentucky yesterday during a press conference.
Okay, which one are you referring to, though? I want to hear this kind of.
Well, he was making a comment how they were going to do things the right way, and they're going to shake hands when they win, and they're going to shake hands when they lose.
I did not get that one.
I appreciate the call. But he was telling a story about his youth.
No, but the thing is, though, is no. I want to do Joe's thing. No, I don't care what story he was saying.
Ah, you mean you were wanting that?
I like
that. You were actually wanting.
In my mind, he took a shot.
Drew asked that question earlier. Was there something that he didn't say? So now you feel comfortable because he took a rivalry shot?
I like that. Yeah.
That's very passive aggressive if that's a shot.
Yeah, but that's what he needed to do if you were going to take a shot. You can't just come in and be like, hey, Calipari sucks.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hyped,
I was going to say, Steve, that's right up your alley.
Oh, I just stood up in the press conference.
I cannot believe you did not ask him a question about that.
What was I supposed to ask him?
No, it's funny. Reggie, one second, I'm going to go to you. But in speaking of the general demeanor of the press conference, he was nervous.
At first, yeah. But how would you not be? Did you see his little girls when they walked in? They were looking like, oh, my God. Like,
right,
you
could just right. see. Right, so like, he could see that.
I know.
Like, you know how it is? It's that natural, you know, let me make sure my family's okay first.
I mean, was
there
500 people there?
Yeah, easily.
I mean,
easily.
Yeah. It's insane. It's
a little different from the Xavier meetings, right?
Yes.
So, okay, so you have that, right? And to me, I thought, this is what you need because – nervous energy is hungry energy. It wasn't nervous like the moment's too big. It was nervous like I'm ready. You know, like it was like anticipation nerves. It looked like he really wanted to just end the press conference and go over talk to his players and let's go get started. You know,
yeah.
Like, which is gonna be to the demise of some sports entertainment, some sports radio. It's going to be more about business, you know? And I don't mean business like financially business. It's going to be more about basketball business with a Chris Mack. And you could just see it.
Yeah, and I did think that there was a portion. The reason it didn't worry me that he looked a little nervous earlier, I think that there was a portion of him that you seen a process that had to be done. Unfortunately, it was just done in front of everybody.
Right.
Where I think he sat down, looked around, and he was just looking back and forth. And I think you watched him go through the physical. This job's bigger than I thought. Like, not in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like maybe not bigger than I thought.
No, it's like you hear about it, and then you got to adjust when you see it.
It sank in how big the job was.
Yep.
And how I'm like, oh, my God, this is my dream job. Like, not, I don't want to come off like he was like, oh, no,
overwhelmed.
Oh, man, I can't do this.
Right, right.
Like, I think it was like, I'm the coach of the University of Louisville.
If you can't give somebody 3 minutes to get their composure at their introduction press conference.
Yeah. Rick came into this job. Coach Pitino came in. Coach Pitino's a dang near a legend when he come in.
He was leaving the Boston Celtics job.
Yeah, like, you know, I've been at UK. I've been at Boston.
Right.
I've been like
the Boston was a step down. You know, the Louisville from Boston is a step down.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You know, I've been here and done this.
Maybe. Reggie, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Man, what's going on, man? It feels so good, man. You know, like Chris Mack is, I'm happy for him, man. I'm just happy like to get this fresh start going, man, because it's been hell for the last 3-4 years or however long, man. And I love, you know, Coach Pitino to death, man. But, man, it was just time for some new blood. And this new blood we got is the blood we need. Man, you see how he's out here recruiting. And, man, he's offered 50 form class style, you know. Yeah, he's bound to get one of them. It's like when you go out to a bar, to a club, you're going to go after every female possible because you just know what? I'm going to get one or two at the end of the night. So I like his approach. And another thing
that's
really turning me on off
get it, Reggie.
Is the former player Jerry Eaves. And, man, that player hating, man, that's just, man, there's no place for that right now, man. Like, I don't understand what he's done for the program in the past. But that player hating, man, he got fouled back. Because another thing I see with Chris Mack and whatever you want to call him, man, they bringing Denny into the fold.
Right.
And I want him to bring former players into the fold. Man, put a former players on that bench. I don't care what minimum role. That's the only disconnect between the fan base and Patino is his lack of reaching out to the former players, because there's no way in hell we shouldn't have had you on that bench through all these years.
Reggie, I appreciate that. That wasn't my thing, man. I don't want to catch assault charges messing with these kids.
I'm just speaking from the heart, man. Right. I love y'all, man. Chorus forever, baby.
Appreciate the call.
Appreciate that, man.
I mean, listen. Let's address that one.
Yeah.
Reggie brought it up. When you say Rick Pitino, not the end part of what he said. What did you think about Chris Mack being overly complimentary, and acknowledging he talked to Coach Pitino immediately? And let me say it, Steve. Allow me this moment. Allow me this 30-second moment to do this. I told y'all, Steve and I sat in here and had this argument and this discussion. That wasn't a full-blooded argument. I told y'all, I said, listen, Rick Pitino may be mad about the way his situation went, but I said, Rick Pitino did 20 years of the best crowd support, of the best facilities. His experience here was great. A lot of people kind of echo Steve's sentiment. Dude is so angry. There's no way he's giving any kind of, you know, glowing analysis of the University of Louisville. And I'm like, once he steps out of it, you got to say, it wasn't that bad. It was actually great.
Yeah.
If you can look in the mirror and say, I messed that up. Once you really start accepting, I messed that up, and not blaming, then you realize your 20 years was great. And then when somebody asks you about your time, dude, it's a good girl.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now that I'm removed, now that I'm married or moving along, that was a good girl.
Yeah.
That was a good situation, dude. Take the situation. So I was very, very excited to find out vicariously, you know what I'm saying, that Rick Pitino's not hating.
No, that was probably one of the things I liked the most, because, I mean, I like Rick Pitino. I mean, I know some people are just set on they're going to hate him, and that's fine.
Right.
And I understand that.
And you
that.
Were hurt when you thought he might be bad-mouthing the program or the city.
Like, genuinely, like, man, dude, that sucks, dude. Like, don't do that. But to hear this, I think Chris Mack didn't make the same mistake Rick did. He's determined to do that. And I think you feel like, oh, well, no, Chris should come in and immediately just throw everything at the Denny guys. Well, yeah, but I agree with you that they do deserve a lot of back pay.
Right.
But if you just look at them and ignore the Rick Pitino aspect, right, you're just restarting a vicious cycle.
Yep.
So I like what he did, where he took so much time with the Denny guys. He took so much time with the Rick guys and acknowledged Rick, and that allowed him to make the statement, there's no Eras anymore. There's no Denny guys. There's no Rick guys. We're Louisville basketball.
I said this on Drew's show. I really feel, first of all, before I go into it, Luke, my bad, man. I did not mean to drop you in the middle of that smoke bomb session. You had nothing to do with that. It was just wrong place, wrong time. You caught it straight, my man. The people who know what I'm talking about, you can go back and listen to the podcast. And it was awkward, yeah. Steve. It was really
sounds
awkward.
Right.
But here's the problem, people. Not necessarily a problem. When Drew asked the question about former players, you know, being slighted, I said, slighted? Does not do that justice, right? When he talked about Crum era guys, like, I don't even like that being thrown around as such a cliche, because when you got two guys that are speaking on behalf of a Crum era that most of Crum era doesn't agree with,
yeah,
that's a bad lumping into one, you know what I'm saying, one entire group, you know?
Yeah.
So here's the explanation, or here's the conversation we had to have in front of Luke. It was like mommy and daddy have been fighting all these years, and Luke just found out that mommy and daddy secretly hate each other, right?
Right.
Here's the problem. And this is how I did it as an example. Imagine if you had a multiplication table, like a matrix table, and let's say you put 10 guys in there, right? And I'm just going to name off guys that I know in some kind of way have wanted to coach. Jason Osborne, Tick Rogers, mm-hmm. Boo Brewer, DeJuan Wheat, Tony Williams, you know, let's say Milt, like, you know, like, okay, let's just say 10 guys, whatever guys you can add to that, right?
Yeah.
Now think about this. Those guys have wanted to be in coaching and a part of the program, right? Let's say 10 people every week ask these potential coaching guys, these former greats.
Yeah.
Man, why don't you go over there and talk to Rick about, you know, about coming in, you know? They have to say that 10 times a week. Yeah, I tried. I called over there. I messaged out. You know, didn't really
He don't mess with
me. Yeah. He don't mess with me, right? And, you know, people just kind of hear that and they're like, oh, maybe you ain't try hard enough. Or, you know, yeah. Rick, you're Boo Brewer. Surely Rick would, you're DeJuan Wheat. Surely Rick would bring in DeJuan Wheat. My God, you busted a person.
Right.
Surely. After a while, those 10 people who are asking those 10 players, that turns into 5,000 people from the Crum era that are realizing, and this is just in 1 week, are realizing, damn, they really don't have access to the program like everybody else's greats have access to.
You're right.
The fact that Luke has never felt that energy of all those years of players being, you know, not being welcome in. And this is not, listen, I've said this, everything I praise about Tom and everything I praise about Rick from day one, I've said, I said steadfast and firm,
yep.
condemn their lack of invitation to former. And it was difficult coming from me because I was able to, you know, kind of get in circle. You know what I'm saying? Maybe,
sure.
Maybe it's my circumstances. Maybe it was luck. Maybe it was my relationship with Kenny Klein. Right. I was able to slightly penetrate that veil. But here's the thing. By the time you have year after year of 10,000 people hearing a story from, you know, a DeJuan, a Jason, a Tony, and not like in a spiteful way, but just saying, man, we tried, didn't really get the response we want, you know, didn't really get welcome to that, you know, like years and years. So by the time Luke gets here, not only does he have no idea, he's never seen a Crum guy get turned away,
right?
Because they don't even try anymore.
It's not the culture anymore. It's not even a part of history.
Yeah, it's an understood. You know, laissez-faire attitude, you know, not...
Well, I mean, I grew up kind of like never really gave the correct celebration to like 80, 86
right.
and stuff. I mean, I just watched the 86 title games like 3 years ago for the first time in my life.
Did you send that tape to the local news station that had... That had Milt Wagner.
Big Louisville fan.
Big Louisville fan. Milt Wagner.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, let me be clear. I would have known Milt Wagner on the streets.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't want to act like I just didn't know anything. But, I mean, to be fair, it was just kind of like when we were on that run to the national championship in 13, I was like, you know what? I've never watched the 80-86 title games. Like, right. I need to do that.
So take what I've told you, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that Luke – and Patino's younger players, like they saw Griff and Crum and maybe one other guy, you know, and Marcus get a little love.
Griff's business ventures too made him. Griff was bigger than
right, but you understand what I'm saying?
The beef.
It numbed the Patino players because they like, oh, it's like, oh, you had Barack, you know. It's kind of you know, in all seriousness, and like you know, those couple of examples made
Griff's around all the time,
right?
You know,
right?
Yeah.
So think about that. I said that's a testament to how much these players love this program to not rally on just, I mean, like I said, you might hear one or two people from the air making a bunch of noise. Sure. And here's what happens. People attack those guys.
Yep.
Right? Like yep. if Reggie said Jerry Eves. If Jerry Eves makes a statement against Rick, you know what they say? They find something to say, okay, Jerry Eves wanted to be in coaching. So that discredits everything, you know, Jerry might say. And we're just talking about ways to disprove error.
Yeah, but the only thing is being around you, I've been allowed to be around a lot of crumb guys. And just, I mean, from Tick Rogers to Milt to everybody, man, to Bozak, to right. all of them that have been, or Tony Williams, there's not been one ounce, and they don't have any reason to be putting on a show in front of me because right. I'm with you.
Right,
so
right,
that
right.
gives me the, okay, it's cool. There's not been animosity. It's been like, I'm just so happy to right. be back involved.
Maybe and here's my thing. There might be two or three guys. About time.
I think there are. But sure. not,
but that's my yeah. thing. Don't put that guy into crumb era
yeah.
as far as everybody feels that way.
No, these dudes genuinely love the program.
Right,
man.
Right. So yeah. that's why Luke doesn't know. That's why you don't see Arden. Think about it. Everything you've yeah. been through, you didn't see a mob mentality of all the crumb era guys saying,
yeah, man.
Get Rick out of here.
No.
Get, no.
No,
they
never
they
did.
They either said nothing at all. Or gave support.
But in doing that, now that this has happened, because if they did that, guys like me, who just loved U of L, I would have hated the crumb era.
Right.
Because I'd be like, y'all punks, man. Y'all didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, Rick's doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you just hating.
But I never heard anything like that. So now when this era comes along, I think it's allowed the integrity of those guys.
Right. Like 20, is high. Think about that.
Yeah.
20 years of pent up integrity. Yeah. Still had milk or pent up frustration. Still had all these players when Vince Tyree
yep.
brought them in. I mean, they came. There was not one time did I hear, Marcus, you really going to that thing? Oh, now you want our support. Like, yeah. I didn't even get it was, dude, I'm there.
Yeah.
When think about that. 20 years, you need me, you call me, I'm there. And you saw it last night, you saw it before, and you, like, again, the old fan base has been fans so much longer than the new fan base.
Yeah.
And they've sat idly by and supported their team for 20 years. And that big hug that was Vince Tyree, that big hug that was Chris Mack, it jumps you so far ahead of the curve you can't imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And he did a great job, I think, at ending this conversation we're having right now.
Absolutely. Larry yeah. from Orlando, thanks for joining us on the At Scoring Collision Hotline. What's on your mind?
Hey, my two amigos. No songs today from Larry from Orlando, but I want to call about the subject you guys are touching on right now and been touching on. I got home from work last night. I turned YouTube on and got to catch the Wave 3 live stream and got to observe a bunch of people that I've seen over the years. You know, the Casino people and Coach Crum people. And I felt like a proud uncle, you know, just sitting from afar down here in Florida watching you guys interact. The players, their body language was perfect to me. They were respectful to the players of Coach Crum when they walked by, and I kept watching them. And it honestly felt like a family reunion to you guys for both eras when Coach Mack walked in there. I saw people stand up out of respect for Coach Mack. And I, like I said, I saw guys interacting with each other. I saw you, Marcus, back there behind Coach Crum. I was hoping you would flick his ears or something. But
oh, no.
if you would have done that, I believe I would have just ran through the TV and smacked you. But Jerry Eves, it's good to see him, Milt Wagner, the whole guys. All my years hanging around the University of Louisville and living there and going to games since I was a baby, every time that I saw a Crum era player, they were very respectful to me. I've never seen one out of line at all. And I'm just thanking the good Lord, Steve, right now that this is finally going to be mended. That's all I got. Love you guys forever. L1C4, go Cards forever. Thank you guys very much.
Appreciate that call. Absolutely. People, we need to take a quick commercial break. Midday with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, what did you get out of the press conference? But 3831-93.9 is the text line. Before we jump into that, we took a late commercial, so we're going to have to take one more commercial at the top of the break in a few minutes. But Steve, shame on us.
Okay.
Shame on us. There's an event going on that is due appropriate love.
Well, let's be clear, though. Right now on this campus, you have a brand new coach for the University of Louisville men's basketball team.
1-in-30-year event.
You have a women's team that is preparing for a Final Four game tomorrow. Now, they're not on this campus right now, but I mean, you know, that are preparing in Columbus for a Final Four game. And you have the University of Louisville football pro day. So you got to kind of make your rounds to get to everything right now.
We're about to have a potential big time donor. Two potential big time donors. Sure. Three potential big time donors.
Yeah, that's fair.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Jair Alexander. No?
Yeah.
Jerron Christensen.
Yeah, and Jerron Christensen. I agree.
You don't think he's going to skyrocket up the boards and get snaps?
No, I think he'll do fine. Yeah, I mean, today's a big day for him. They said Lamar's not going to run the 40 again today, which I don't mind.
I know.
I don't mind Lamar
y'all
not running
how
the 40.
Fast I am.
I'm not giving y'all a number to break down. I'm
sorry. I'm not playing that game. Yeah. You want to see me throw, come watch me throw.
Yeah. You've watched my game film.
I'm not doing the agility. I'm not doing the standing long jump. Is he going to do those things too? Because I hope not.
I think he's going to throw and do – he may do a couple things. I don't know what all he's going to do. But I know he's going to throw. I mean, and that's – I agree with it, man. Like, don't do all that other stuff. I don't need to. Y'all know I'm fast. You watch the film. Jair's not going to run, obviously, because – well, he ran a 4.3 at the combine. So, hey, y'all did get my number, so you leave what? It right there.
Would you advise him to run again?
No. Heck no. If Jalen would have went out last year – and ran a 4.5 to start out, or 4.4 to start out with.
I was going
to
say he did run a 4.5.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was trying to bring it
Jalen,
down a little bit.
That was Steve who said it.
Yeah, slow, man. He's drafted now. We can make jokes. But, right. I mean, you know, if he hits a 4.3 or something, I personally would have called and said, Jalen.
Let's talk.
Don't run. In this I know you're in line right
Steve,
now,
Steve
Jalen. Yeah. Hey, Jalen, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
This is a message from the sports gods, man. I know you're in line right now. I'm watching you on TV to run again. You're next. Step out the line. Like, I mean, if you put up one good number, I don't need to, that's it. Period. I'm done.
I would use the phone and call a threat.
Yeah. I'd pull the fire alarm at Lucas Oil.
Just to make somebody leave the building right now.
Yeah. But it's good exposure today for the Louisville football program, man.
NFL Network is on campus. Here's what happens.
A lot of head coaches are over there.
Here's what you need. Here's what you got to understand, two people. Again, I know you get sick of me being right, and I know you get sick of me yelling about the facilities and things like that. Here's the problem, people. When you get these teams on campus and they see the facilities, they say, oh, yeah, that's why they're turning out studs. Like, I don't care if you want to admit it or not. When you see guys in the Russian Rocky, you know, training facilities all digitized and you're like, that's why I can draft these guys. That's why I'm comfortable. I'm more comfortable than I was before drafting stuff because these guys sit, you know, places are on par. Now, if you went to, you know, South Dakota State, you know, and had some big stud kid, you're like, yeah, he's gonna be a project.
Yeah.
Like, even if he was more developed than your Louisville guy, you're just gonna look at the hay bales that he's out there throwing around, you know what I'm saying, in the gym. That was so stereotypical and cliche.
Yeah, yeah.
But you get the point.
All us white dudes work out in a barn with hay bales.
I didn't add a color to it, Steve.
No, but you implied it.
There are South Dakota black dudes.
You implied it. Maybe. Speaking of that, Coach Mack shouting out Shepherdsville. It was like the crowning moment in my life.
Ah, Steve. You actually had to go to the bathroom after that.
I was like, man, come on, man. And then this morning on Golic and Wingo, he did it again.
He was on Golic and Wingo this morning. I don't want to lose that point. Just let me clean up the NFL Network sitting around looking at the facilities.
Yeah, man.
Looking at how well Rocco Gasparro and Kenny Klein are handling.
It's incredible.
Both of their respective, you know, sports, you know, logistics. I'm sure their moving around the building is seamless with Rock over there. I'm sure he's proud to be it showing this place off. I'm sure think about it. These places are so comfortable when you're on the fence about a team wanting, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to Louisville. Like, sign me up. If I'm going to four different places and four different schools, mark me down on the Louisville one for sure.
Yeah, and well, now you have the new addition that's starting to really take shape, man. Look good down there stadium. In the end zone. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot going on right now for the football program, man. And then you're opening with Alabama. You're going to get a lot of shine over the summer, man, where people are going to be looking for that game. You got a 6'6" monster back there that's ready to go, man. It's a good time. It's a good time for the football program, man. It's a good time for Louisville fans in general. Boy, we went right through that thing, didn't we? Hey, wasn't the program supposed to be dead? Wasn't we supposed to be never happy again? Like, wasn't we supposed to just, like, oh, man, well, we're mid-major now. We went right through that. Like, we ran right through that wall. Like, good Lord. We're right out. Here we sit today. You know, probably just had the best coaching hire in a long time. And, you know, pro day and all that stuff going on. We're opening with Bama. The women are in the Final Four. The baseball team is really good.
Our head coach, our head men's tennis coach, his kids are dominating the entire junior world of tennis. Our coach's own kids. Our head women's basketball coach. His sister beat out the wife of our new head coach.
I know.
For Kentucky Women's Player of the Year.
I sat back yesterday on my couch last night. I stayed up till 11 o'clock watching Donovan Mitchell and Terry Rozier go back and forth.
And it ended up in a game winner.
I know.
What more do you want from the sports gods, people? Other than Midday with Marcus Maven, 81.50. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.